Welcome back to Via the Source, where you can get news about the entire NFL and, of course, the Miami Dolphins. Fins up, here's Steven, your host.
What is up, guys? Today's date is October 30th. I'm Steven Mosso, and as always, you are listening to Via the Source. Today was the NFL trade deadline, so we did have some moves being made. Some people were calling it before. They were saying that this was going to be the most active NFL trade deadline, and it was going to be crazy. I wouldn't say it was that. There were some pretty nice moves being made, but I just don't think it's comparable to the NBA trade deadline, or especially not the MLB trade deadline. But this one was a pretty good one nonetheless. We did have some moves being made, so I'm going to be discussing that. Some little news around the entire NFL. Of course, I'm going to give you what the Dolphins did this trade deadline, the moves they made, or the lack thereof. I'm going to be talking about also some mistakes that I think teams made this offseason that are starting to show their ugly face this regular season. So to dive straight into it, the first move we're going to talk about, it was not during the trade deadline, it was actually last week, but it was a very important one nonetheless. Amari Cooper got traded from the Oakland Raiders to the Dallas Cowboys for a first round pick, and as you could expect, it got a lot of attention, and I still think to this day right now, after the trade deadline, this was probably the biggest move that was made, considering there's a first-round pick involved, and it's Amari Cooper, who is such a young star with a lot of potential. I will say he's a young star because he did have some good times. He was struggling as of late, but do I think this is a good pick, a good move for both sides? For the Oakland Raiders side, you're getting a first-round pick. I think that is more value than 99% of us expected. I don't think anyone was expecting a first round pick for Amari Cooper. People were saying maybe a fourth, maybe a third, because this had been discussed days in advance, but then it ended up being a first round pick, so no complaints. The Oakland Raiders are in a clear rebuild, and you cannot not be excited by the fact you got a first round pick for a guy who was struggling as of late, and it's clear that, you know, the team's not in any shape or form to win right now. That's a good move, getting him off your hands and not having to pay his big contract. For the Dallas Cowboys, I understand. Yeah, you need a receiver badly. Your weapons right now, your biggest weapon is Cole Beasley. Your next best receiver is your running back, Ezekiel Elliott. I do like Gallup. He is, I think, has some great potential there. Allen Hurns is consistent, but he is not a star receiver by any means. You needed that star receiver on your team, so they went out and got him. But I can't lie to you. I think a first-round pick, I was mocking them, I'm not gonna lie. I thought a first round pick was ridiculous. And I see the arguments being made. Yes, Calvin Ridley is just a few months younger. Yes, it's kind of like you got you use your first round pick on a receiver and you got someone that you already know what they're bringing to the table. I understand that as well. And yeah, you were gonna get a first round, you're gonna use your first round pick on a receiver next year. I understand that. But, Amari Cooper, like I said, he's going to be demanding a big contract soon just because his talent. The Cowboys are not the only team in the league that sees that there is talent there. And they basically traded a first-round pick for the right to be able to pay him. And what that says to me is that, well, of course you want him to do great this year. But if he does do good, then that just raises his value, and you're going to have to pay him. And I'm not sure who said this. I think it might have been Colin Cowherd that was saying that this is a test for Dak Prescott, saying that if Dak Prescott can't perform well with Amari Cooper, then you're not going to want to pay him. And I do understand, and I think that is a good way to rationalize this move. I still can't, you know, shake off that it was a first-round pick. I think that might have been a little excessive. But from that rationale, I understand, because if Dak Prescott cannot perform with Amari Cooper, with Ezekiel Elliott, and it's not a great offensive line, but they're still solid. So if he can't perform with that, then you know you do not have your franchise quarterback in Dak Prescott. Now, to move to these trades at the trade deadline, I'm going to stick with the theme and stick with the receivers here. We had an aging Demaryius Thomas. Oh, man. You know, I feel horrible for saying that, but it's true. He is not the same guy he once was. So we had Demaryius Thomas traded from the Denver Broncos to the Houston Texans in exchange for a fourth-round pick, and they also swapped their seventh-round pick. So the Texans will get a fourth-round pick for Demaryius Thomas. Looking at this one from both sides, what do I think? I think for the Broncos, yeah, that's great for them. This is what everyone could see this one coming from a mile away, that Demaryius Thomas was going to get traded. He was getting up there in age. Cortland Sutton was brought in for a reason, and he has looked secretly very good in his performances because he is making some tremendous catches. The volume, I am anxious to see what he's going to do with the volume uptake, because I think Cortland Sutton, he just has a big body. He is quick. He reminds me a lot of what Demaryius Thomas was as a younger version. So I cannot complain with that from a Broncos side. It was a great career for Demaryius Thomas in Denver, no doubt. But, you know, when it's time to go, it's time to go. I don't think there will be any type of hard feelings on that one. And then from the Texans side, this was a move I think they needed to make. They needed some type of receiver. You have DeAndre Hopkins, and then Will Fuller goes down, and Will Fuller was actually having a great season. He had a big role this season. And then Kiki Cutie, he has been struggling, I believe, with a hamstring injury that's been keeping him out. So you needed somebody very badly, and they were not just gonna, you know, not send a receiver out there. They got Demaryius Thomas. Yeah, he is not what he was before, but you don't need him to be what he was before because you got DeAndre Hopkins, one of the best receivers in the league. So I think this will be a good move for the Texans as well. I think for both sides, this was just a really good mutual trade for both of them. Another receiver was traded, and that was Golden Tate. He was traded from the Lions to the Eagles. The Eagles gave up a third round pick for Golden Tate. And what do I think of this one? This one, I don't think was bad for either team either. I don't think either team got fleeced because the Lions weren't going to want to pay, you know, a 31-year-old receiver in the offseason. So at least you got a pick for him. So that was a good move for them. They still have their young guys. They have Marvin Jones. They have Kenny Golladay. They got TJ Jones as well. They have a bunch of young guys that can fill the void of Golden Tate. Maybe not as well right now, but if you give it time, they will be able to replicate it. And then Golden Tate, the Eagles, they really wanted to run that underneath route. It was a little confusing to me because I thought Tate and Nelson Agholor kind of brought the same skill set to the table, but you have to understand that's the offense they want to run. They want to run those type of routes. And Golden Tate's not a guy where, when I say he's 30, that he is getting old or he looks washed in the same way that Demaryius Thomas kind of did, because that's not it for Golden Tate. Golden Tate still definitely has some wheels on him. He is still very effective, and I think that could help the Eagles tremendously. They have needed a receiver for some time. There was rumors, I believe 2 years ago, that Kenny Stills was in talks to go to the Eagles. Then there was a lot of talks about whether Devontae Parker would be traded to the Eagles. It ended up being Golden Tate, and I can't hate that move again for either side. I think that was a good move for both teams. Now we move on to Ty Montgomery, who was traded from the Packers to the Ravens for a 2020 seventh round pick. And what this says to me is that we were willing to get you off our hands by any means. Because if you're watching the last game, the Packers were on the verge of a comeback. They had 2 minutes left. Classic Aaron Rodgers comeback. Ty Montgomery returned the kick out of the end zone and he fumbled the ball. And there was an article that came out after saying that they ordered Montgomery on the kick return to kneel the ball, you know, whatever happened, just kneel the ball. And he kind of took it out himself in a way to kind of say, you know, F y'all, I'm going to do what I want to do. And then he fumbled the ball. He was throwing a fit, throwing his helmet around, and it was clear that he was going to be gone. A seventh round pick in 2020, you know, you might as well have given him up for the water boy at that point. Will the Ravens utilize him? I am honestly not very sure. I'm sure he'll eventually get some type of touches and be worked in there. There's the biggest running back by committee right now in Baltimore, so it looks like he was almost kind of sent there to die, because you have Buck Allen, you have Kenneth Dixon, you have Alex Collins. I am not sure what kind of volume Ty Montgomery is going to be receiving over there in Baltimore. And then, of course, Green Bay has Aaron Jones. They have no need for Ty Montgomery. That is a position they can easily fill, and they will not be missing him too much. Now we move on to HaHa Clinton Dix, the Packer, who was traded to the Redskins for a 2019 fourth round pick. And this is a move, another one that I understand, I guess, kind of needed to be done because he was going to demand that same money anyway, but it is painful to think when you look at Green Bay and they had Micah Hyde, who ended up being tremendous with the Buffalo Bills, and then they had Morgan Burnett, and then, you know, they let go of him as well, and then now they let go of HaHa Clinton Dix, who was also just a really tremendous player for them. And I don't necessarily hate this move in particular, but I'm growing frustrated seeing the Packers have a historically great quarterback, one of the most talented, if not the most talented quarterback. When you have that level of quarterback play, that is an opportunity every year to win the Super Bowl, but they just do not build a team around this man. And I understand you got Devontae Adams. That's a great receiver, but you gave him, you know, an older version of Jimmy Graham. You could have gotten him Jimmy Graham a few years ago. Instead, you get him now when he's way past his prime. Your other receivers are, you know, an aging Randall Cobb. Your running back was a receiver in Ty Montgomery. Aaron Jones is stepping in, and he is, luckily for you guys, doing great. And then on the defensive side of the ball, you barely now have the rookie corners who are starting to perform. They're still maybe a year or two away from their prime. I just don't think that enough has been done throughout the years to put Aaron Rodgers in a position, because you have that position locked down and he is going to feast on the entire offense. But it seems to me like they're almost in a rebuilding state right now. And it's just, I don't think there should ever be a rebuilding state when you have a quarterback of that caliber. And I, you know, some teams have to rebuild, but you never really should be rebuilding with an Aaron Rodgers, because he'll always put you on the cusp of contention just because he is that good. And that's just how I feel about this HaHa Clinton Dix trade. So I don't hate it. I don't love it. It's going to help the Redskins, of course. But, you know, I think it's just a testament to, you know, it reaching this point for the Packers. The next trade was Dante Fowler was traded from the Jaguars to the Rams for a 2019 third-round pick and a 2020 fifth-round pick. And Dante Fowler, it was really interesting. I saw the Jaguars fan base calling him Dante Personal Fowler. I thought that was pretty funny. But yeah, he was traded to the Rams, a team that is absolutely stacked beyond belief. To look at this from the Rams standpoint, the Rams could not do any wrong, I think, when they buy. If they buy anybody, I understand, because they are so on the cusp of a Super Bowl contention. You know, their window is right now. It is yesterday. It is, you know, this is their year. If not this year, then next year. I have no problem with them going out and getting whoever they want, no matter what it does to the cap situation, because kind of how like they say in the MLB, you know, parades over prospects. I will take a Super Bowl over, you know, having to ditch people next season. So yeah, they traded a third-round pick in the 2020. I think that was actually good value for the Jaguars to get a third-round pick in return, so I wouldn't be completely mad at that. Dante Fowler wasn't playing tremendously by any means, but, you know, when you're on a team like the Rams with Aaron Donald and Dominican Sue, that is going to build some holes, and it will definitely, I think, raise his effectiveness just by being, you know, easing the load off of him. He'll have a better opportunity to make some plays there. Another trade that I think works out pretty well for both sides. What did the Dolphins do? Well, the Dolphins stayed absolutely put, and that was kind of shocking to me, because I thought Devontae Parker, after that game, his value was at his highest. It wouldn't have surprised me if he was gone, but with the injuries at receiver, I could see how they need that spot filled by someone who knows the offense. But what I think it's frustrating. The Dolphins, in my mind, I think should have definitely been sellers this trade deadline, because if you're staying put, that means you're satisfied with what you have. And I don't think there is a reason to be satisfied with what we have, especially with the injuries. And I'm not saying to toss in the towel. The season is still in great shape, but it kind of shows what standard are you holding to the team. Because is making the playoffs a real possibility? Yes, sure, that's still a possibility. But is winning a Super Bowl a possibility this season? No, I don't think it's really a possibility at all, especially with when you see what the Rams are doing, when you see how good the Chiefs are doing, when you see other teams like the Falcons and just teams around the league who are really built very well, and the Vikings too, just teams like that. So I don't think a Super Bowl is by any means in the conversation. So it's kind of like, what are you doing? Because yeah, if you are aiming for a playoff spot, if you are aiming for the wild card, then yeah, if that's your Super Bowl, then maybe you can get it. But that's not a good standard to hold for your team. I think you should be playing for the Super Bowl every year. And if you're not building towards that point and you're building for a wild card spot, then you're wasting your time. And that's the way I'm looking at this. I think they should have been sellers at this point and build to the future. So in the future, you could get to the Super Bowl, you know, so you can build towards contention. You shouldn't be staying put when you're not even in that good of a place to be in. And that's my thoughts right now on how the Dolphins handled this trade deadline situation. Now, I said I was going to be talking about some mistakes that were made by different franchises in the offseason, ones that I think are holding them back, and they're starting to show their faces this regular season. And the first mistake is, I think, the biggest mistake that was made this offseason, and it was the Jaguars staying put with Blake Bortles, because that's a team that got to the AFC Championship game, one game away from the Super Bowl, and every NFL fan knew what the problem was. You have Leonard Fournette, a running back who was, you know, a great in college and is going to be great in the pros as long as he stays healthy. You have receivers in Marquise Lee, you have Keelan Cole, you got D.D. Westbrook, you got a beautiful young core of receivers there. And then they made a move for Austin Seferian Jenkins at tight end. You have the best elite defense in the NFL, and it's really not even that close. And all you need is a quarterback. That is all you need, and you could be in that Super Bowl conversation. And instead, they stay put with Blake Bortles. And it is basically the opposite of what the Minnesota Vikings did. The Minnesota Vikings had Case Keenum. They got to the NFC Championship game. They had that stacked defense. They had Dalvin Cook coming back, who was going to be great. They had Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen, wonderful receiving core too. And Case Keenum, they knew he wasn't the guy. They said, yeah, he played good enough to get us here, but we know if we want to be real, we need to go out and get someone like Kirk Cousins, and he will extend our window for another 1 or 2 years. And they went out and they got him, and honestly, they look better, and I take them more serious with Kirk Cousins now than I did with Case Keenum. But instead, the Jaguars handled the Blake Bortles situation and say, hey, Blake got us here, and we're not even going to question it, and we're going to hope he does it again this year. And that was a horrible way to go about it. I think the Jaguars would be one of the best teams in the league if they would have dropped the cash for Kirk Cousins, rather, or if they would have made a move, even if they draft a quarterback and it takes them a year or two to know the system. But you didn't even have a backup plan. They didn't even draft a quarterback. So now they're going to have to wait another year, and it's going to take another 2 years after that. That window, guys are going to be gone. You know, Jalen Ramsey's eventually going to need a contract. Telvin Smith's going to need a contract. Calais Campbell's going to be gone. You're going to need to feed these guys. That window of opportunity was wasted in my mind, not going after a quarterback and sticking with Blake Bortles. Now, to move on to the next one, very similar situation, and it is the New York Giants. This one is very obvious. It's Eli Manning. It was, again, as clear as day. Every NFL fan knew it. Eli Manning is not the guy anymore. I mean, he looks old, and you have an absolutely star-studded cast of people around him. You have Saquon Barkley, you have Odell Beckham, Sterling Shepard, and then you have Evan Ingram, a beautiful young core of receiving weapons. And Eli Manning is not able to make it work. And I think it's a shame because you had a pretty good defense as well. Luckily for them, like I said, that group of young guys on the offensive side of the ball is still young. They're still going to be there. You extended Odell. Whoever the rookie is going to be next year should have a fairly easy transition to the NFL because of that. But I just can't shake the fact that if you had a quarterback this year, then next year would have been very, very exciting. But now we're probably going to have to wait another 2 years because that's just how it works for rookies. We've never had a rookie win the Super Bowl. So I think that was, you know, a darn shame that we're going to have to wait. And that brings us to the next point, which is almost identical. And it is the Miami Dolphins not going out and getting a quarterback. Because if you looked at who the Dolphins had, it was pretty clear that the team wasn't a Super Bowl team on paper. If the team was going to get to that level, it would take just a tremendous showing of coaching and schemes and tactics and really utilizing people's skills, because they didn't have that star on any at any position. Everybody was just kind of a role player, a guy who could definitely do their job, but a stretch to say that, yeah, all these guys together without anybody else, yeah, that's the squad. So to me, I think they really needed a quarterback just because they're kind of postponing the inevitable. We know that the team isn't a Super Bowl contender, and it kind of just goes back to that standard. What standard are you holding the team to? Because if all you're reaching for is the playoffs, then yeah, the team might be able to get there. But with this quarterback, Ryan Tannehill, and I hate to, you know, beat a dead horse or something. I hate to pour salt in the wound, but we know what we have with Ryan Tannehill, and it is a quarterback who is good enough if the rest of the team is good. You know, he is kind of in that same sense of Case Keenum and Blake Bortles. If the defense is elite and there is a good enough running game, then yeah, he could be the guy who gets you there. But we knew the defense wasn't going to be a Jaguars caliber defense. We knew it wasn't going to be a Vikings caliber defense. So what are we doing? We're kind of just, it almost seems like a waste of time. You know, we don't have the elite Odell Beckham, Julio Jones that is going to help Ryan Tannehill. So it's not all on him that he is not the guy. It is just, you know, the timing was bad. And sometimes you have to, you know, say time's up and we're going to move on to a younger guy. Because honestly, the passes that Tannehill's making and the way the offense is run, short routes, short throws, any quarterback, I think, could fill in this offense and do what what is required of him. So I don't see the problem in going out and getting a quarterback, even if it's in the second or third round. I just can't really tell what direction the team is trying to head, because I see the young guys coming in, and that is great. I see the Xavier Howard. I see the Kenyon Drake. I see the Minkah Fitzpatricks, the Raekwons, the Bakers, the young guys. But then at the same time, the veterans are getting too old. They would have been great veterans on the team, but now they're getting too old. Wake's efficiency is going down. Eventually, the same is going to be said about Rashad Jones. And Robert Quinn is going to, you know, he hasn't been great this season either. And Josh Sitton is getting fairly old. So it's kind of just, what direction is the team heading? Because, yeah, they're filling some holes with some young guys, but then there's new holes being made. And eventually the team's going to need to just say, hey, let's just aim for the future and let's rebuild. And I think that was a big mistake, not going for a quarterback, because that would have been a commit to the future. And they did not want to commit to the future. And they wanted to send out a squad that, you know, wasn't really in the Super Bowl conversation. And they wanted to send them out there just kind of as a shot in the dark and, you know, see if it would happen. And I think it was just kind of almost a waste of a season. But, you know, it's not a waste if you get to the playoffs. I understand that. But I just think if that's a standard, sneaking into the playoffs and getting into the wild card, then you're holding yourself to too low of a standard. And I'm going to have a written piece, and I'm probably going to discuss it on the podcast about this standard and what I was talking about, and just have a more, informative conversation. I'll use more statistics, because right now I'm just kind of speaking strictly, you know, just based off my mind and what I've been thinking about. But I do have right now in the works, you know, one that is being typed out. So I'll have that for you guys next time. Until next time, though, this I'm going to wrap up the episode. You can always share your thoughts. Follow me on Twitter at Shady Steven, at Via The Source. Until next time, though, I'm Steven Amasso. This was Via The Source.